Hi, I'm Kristen Bell. Carvana makes car buying easy. Isn't that right, hun? Dax? Dax?
Sorry, did you know about this 7-day money-back guarantee?
A week to evaluate seat comfiness, you say?
A week of terrain tests? Yeah, I can test the brake pad resistance at variable speeds.
Make sure all the kids' stuff fits nicely.
Make sure our stuff fits nicely.
Oh, the...
Right. Still need to buy the car. Getting ahead of ourselves here.
Buy your car with Carvana today.
We are having a special guest join us live right here, right now. He is one half of the New South Tag Team Champions, along with Dump Sanders, the Dumpster Divers. He just competed in his last Hoss tournament ever. He is CMD Cabana Man Dan. Dan, thanks for joining us, man. How you doing?
I'm good. Just getting my island ready for you. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Is my satellite phone communicating properly?
Yes, you look good and you sound good, Dan. It's great to see you, man.
Good to see you, Dan. Appreciate you joining us.
Yeah, thank you. You said big name, and I was like, I don't see anybody else here. What are you talking about? Oh, my name is long, but it's not big. So that's the difference.
No. You've been around a long time, Dan. Everyone out there is saying all these nice things about you. You've been putting up articles the last few weeks. You're getting that praise. What's it feel like just right off the bat, seeing your peers and people you've had a hand in training and just people you've known in wrestling kind of giving you your flowers lately?
It sounds like I owe them a lot of money. And it really feels good. I mean, because, you know, I know you've had Big Dave on most recently. You know, that's a guy that started as, you know, security and ushering people to their seats, all the ticket holders, from going to the training. And it takes a village. You know, it's not just me. It's guys like Donnie Primetime, Kenzie Page, Dump Sanders, Brandon Williams. And just, I mean, New South's been a community. To get guys like Big Dave ready, Tyler Franks, Hunter Drake, and the next classes, up to speed as much as we can.
What was it like, you know, competing in your last Hoss tournament? Like, what's, you know, why was this your last Hoss tournament? And like, I don't know if I missed an announcement, but like, do you have like a timeline on like your career? Or was it this more of like a Hoss thing? Kind of what's the mindset of this being your last Hoss tournament? Because you've been so involved and you've won the tournament in the past.
Well, we kind of had like a running joke is after you compete in two Hoss tournaments, you're like done for a while. And I competed in my second Hoss tournament and won it in 2019. And then as years went by, I was like, well, if I get put in the Hoss again, I want it to be my last one. Just because the level of talent is insane. And I sell myself short. We're all our own worst critics. And there's times where I was like, man, I can't hang with these people anymore. Put me in tag matches, you know, put me in gimmick matches. But, you know, but when it comes down to it, when the red light's on, I feel like, especially last weekend, I feel as good as I ever had felt in a ring, physically and mentally, especially. I just, 5 years since I won the tournament, I'm 5 years smarter in wrestling. You know, I've crossed over two decades now and just really studied, you know, strategy and timing and just how to differentiate our matches from any other one. And that's what I really liked about the Hoss tournament. The first round was against, you know, Cheeseburger. It started off as a really nice callback to like early Cabana Man Dan. It was real lighthearted, very quirky technical stuff. We just had a really hard hitting match before us. So it was a nice palate cleanser until Cheeseburger decided to punch me in the face. And then the match with Big Dave was a callback to the Castaway era where from like late 2020 to now, where it was more of a serious fighting spirit, you know, gritty Dan. And that's what Dave got from me. So, you know, I went a little bit harder on him. So,
sorry. Go ahead, Jeremy.
Oh, well, we talked to Dave about the pile driver. So I was going to bring up the pile driver from your perspective on things and hitting it on him as big as he is.
Well, you know, having a low center of gravity, like I do, I've got really good core strength. It doesn't really look like it, but I'm fairly strong for someone that's 5'3", and you know, Dave's weight spread evenly, so it was easier to kind of pick that up and kind of balance it, and you know, all I had to do was sit down, drop him on his head. But the symbolism of the pile driver to me is that's not a move I do ever. It's been several years since I've executed it, and the last time I used it was when I first come back from neck injury and someone used it on me. So it was it has to be pretty serious. And as the match progresses, you know, I never kicked out at two. Everything was a one count until the lariat, and that was the actual three count. But as the match progressed, the Cabana Man Dan Castaway mindset is starting to get, I don't want to say desperate, but this is the final hoss. He's, you know, he's letting it all come out, you know, doing moves that I've never done before, like backflipping out of a lariat for a pile driver, the little rolling pretzel after that, and like choking and biting. It's just, it was like devolving because I didn't want to lose because this was my final hoss. And Dave has more hosses in the future is the mindset I was going, that I thought, this is my thought process while I'm in the ring.
I thought it came across great throughout the whole weekend for the whole tournament. Like the first match, as you kind of mentioned, you know, kind of differences, like the end of the cheeseburger match, hit him with the flip-flop chop and then hit him with the shipwrecked. And then after the match, he doesn't give you the respect. Like it's a dream match that we never seen. You know, we want to see CMD versus cheeseburger. And I expected him to shake your hand afterwards. What was it like, first of all, getting in the ring with him? Because I know it was a dream match for the fans. I would also imagine a dream match for yourself heading into it as well. And then what was it like that, I guess the feeling that he didn't, you know, he didn't show the respect afterwards. Like I think I expected to see.
You know, I really expected it too, because Cheeseburger, you know, he's got that level of respect where he's always a lighthearted, nice guy, always works hard, you know, keeps his head down, and he's the head trainer of the Worldwide Dojo. So he's got that, you expect him to have that teacher patience and that mindset where it's kind of like, you know, just, yeah, he lost, but at the end of the day, you know, I said, hey, I forgive you for punching me. If you forgive me for hitting you with a flip flop, let's just bygones be bygones. Let's shake it off. And, you know, he shrugged me off, you know, shoulder checked me on my hurt shoulder and left. And then, you know, he got dealt with a little bit the next day with Nasty Leroy. But he was victorious on the next day. But it meant a lot to me because even though he's like a 2-time finalist, and we were in the same finals together, we have never touched because I was taken out early in that match by Baron Black with 2 power bombs and a power bomb through the table. So by the time I got back up, Cheeseburger was already eliminated. So we've never touched. And that's kind of like a cool, a matchup because, you know, we both have like some, the roots in like the quirky Lucha Libre technical style. And, you know, even just being in the ring with him, I was learning on the fly with what he was doing. So that was cool.
And then on the kind of on the flip side, like your next round match that you had against Big Dave that we have talked about a little bit already, the finish of that one, like you're going for the shipwreck. He like reverses it, goes for like an Oklahoma slam, a couple, like you all have like a series of reversals. Eventually he kind of like flips you backwards out of your finish and hits you with that spirit of 99. But on the flip side, he shows you the respect after the match. Like he, you know, y'all shake hands, you endorse him. You know, I know you're a mentor to Big Dave. I guess if you can speak just a little bit more to like the match itself, and then also like seeing him go on to actually win the tournament.
Oh, that's just like, you know, his story is just beginning in the whole world of professional wrestling. My story's on the final chapters, but his is just in the opening chapters. And it's cool how they're like passing like trains in the night. And with the way that all went, you know, I was going to give him everything I had. And if he survives me, he better win the whole damn thing. So, you know, that's what I told him. If you beat me, you better win it all. Cause I'm just not going to lose for no reason. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I have one more follow-up on the tournament. It's or that night itself. So Big Dave, yeah, Wins the tournament. And then, so this was so wild to the way this played out live. So I'm watching the SCI Rumble on IWTV the same night that this show is happening in real time. And I see Dylan Hales and Tim Bosby on SCI. And then I get, I'll just, I'll out him. My mole from New South, Carmen, shoots me.
To everyone who loves the taste of tradition, come enjoy a classic Wisconsin fish fry at Culver's.
I'm Genesis from Culver's in Claremont, Florida. And here, family fish fry is a part of who we are. We've been serving up fish fry favorites for over 40 years, all thanks to the Culver Family Roots and Wisconsin Supper Club, the place where the fish fry was perfected. If you're craving something crispy on the outside and flaky on the inside, you've got to try our hand-battered North Atlantic cod. It's perfectly seasoned and my personal favorite. Or if you're in the mood for a little extra crunch, our lightly breaded butterfly jumbo shrimp hits the spot every time. Whatever you order, I promise it will be made with love by a team who cares, because we want every guest to feel like family. That's just how we do it in Wisconsin. Dive into delicious with all your fish fry favorites at Culver's.
From Wisconsin with love, welcome to delicious.
Some results of kind of what's going on, and I'm sitting here going, wait, how was Dylan Hales at Haas? He was at SCI. And then I see how this all plays out. I watched last night on IWTV, and I just want your thoughts on like Dylan and Tim like invading New South, and also kind of the possibilities there of like, as a fan, it's cool to see the crossover of like New South SCI, because that of course bleeds into like TWE in action, Tim Bosby's Action Champion. As an IWTV fan, especially the Southeast, it's very intriguing as a fan to see this play out. But what were your thoughts on kind of seeing Dylan in both places and like kind of this happening?
Well, all I know is if Dylan and Tim Bosby are showing up in New South, if they're confronting Big Dave and they're causing problems, that means that New South, we're doing the right things. You know, we're doing enough shaking of the cage to where we're drawing in people trying to take us down. And I don't even know if that's their motive. I don't know if they're trying to take a New South down or if they're just trying to stick it to Big Dave. I mean, there's always, you know, I know it's shocking to hear this, but I think there is a level of pettiness in independent wrestling. I don't know if you've ever heard of pettiness in wrestling, but there's always like this competitive, like jeering back and forth. I mean, it's, you know, There's some in Alabama, of course, but when it comes to like the IWTV branded community, you know, Action and New South are always is trying to keep up with the Robertsons, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. It's like, well, they do something. Well, what can we do? Or we do something. Well, maybe what can we do with that they're doing? So I think we're doing the right things. I think steel sharpens steel, and you know, this is just the first shot. So, you know, I hope people have eyes on the back of their head at their upcoming events. That's all I can say. I just know it shocked us just as much as the people in the crowd. Like, there were people that came to New South that were normally from the Action and SCI and TWE contingent, but it's Haas weekend, so they came down. So the people that already knew Dylan Hales when he was coming out stood up or like, what is happening? But that slimy star maker, Dylan Hales, just knows exactly what to say to get the people of Gadsden, Alabama riled up. Because we have several towns that we run in with New South. And the one that's the most old school wrestling town is Gadsden, Alabama. And he knew exactly what to say. You run the city down, you run New South down, you run Big Dave down. I'm surprised they didn't get stabbed. You know, it's that kind of old school crowd at Gadsden. So, you know, they dropped Lee on his head. They tried to pick him up. I was the first one busting through the scene because, you know, locker room leader, you know, I was like, let's go. And I chased Tim Bosby and Dylan Hales literally to their car, and they sped away. Like, I missed Big Dave getting picked up on Alec Price's shoulder, because I was chasing these scoundrels out of the parking lot, like shouting, like nobody knew what was happening. There was like fans standing outside that was like, what is happening? So it was very chaotic, and Autumn, our camera woman, really captured how chaotic it truly was. And it was wild.
All right. So you got to go to war here with Action. Who are the four New South people on your side?
I mean, we could have 10 New South people on my side. Everybody wanted a piece, but I mean, Definitely number one with the bullets got to be Big Dave. That's who they're targeting. You know, this is his shot. I mean, I was the second through the curtain. So, you know, Big Dave means a lot to me as a human being. So you come and try to take his thunder, that offends me. And as being half of the New South Tag Team Champions, you can't have New South without Dump Sanders. So that's your three. And whoever our fourth one is, it could be negatively if he puts in for some PTO. I know he's not active right now. It could be, I would love to have someone like Mad Dog Conley in our corner. So that'd be a nice guard dog for sure. But you know, could be like a Donnie Primetime, could be Chris Crunk. I mean, you know, volunteers are not scarce right now to get a little bit of sweet revenge, baby.
You got to have people on your side that you can also trust though. I mean, wrestlers, you mentioned pettiness. There's also shadiness with a lot of wrestlers, a lot of backstabbing.
No way.
Going on. Yeah. A lot of backstabbing going on in the world of wrestling. So you got to have people on your side that you can trust too.
Well, I never.
You might be able to get, I don't know her name. There's that woman who, she's very loud at your shows. I love it. She's very into the show.
Cindy.
Okay. Well, hey, shout out to Cindy. She was ready to fight.
Oh yeah. She was the third commentator of Haas. Cause you could hear her and she's embarrassed by it now, but I was like, no, we love it. It gives us so much energy. If there's nobody cheering in the crowd, you better be damn sure Cindy's cheering for you or booing you. She hates Richard Holiday, by the way.
He's got eight. I mean, geez. I wanted to ask, this is kind of random, but just because we had talked about Dylan Hales a little bit, it just reminds me of, you know, the first time I got to see you wrestle live was in Nashville years ago in Southern Underground Pro in the Basement East. We've talked about the bell shot and stuff before on the show, the infamous and what, but like, what's your favorite moment from Sup Graps? Like, I don't know if it'll ever come back, but like, I have a very fond memories of that promotion. What's maybe your favorite moment in the history of Sup?
Oh gosh. I mean, it has not the bell shot, but I mean, I don't know if that's like a moment, but that whole match is just still legendary and it still gets talked about, at least the bell shot. But I'm trying to like pick something else out of that, like, I really don't know. I mean, it's just, I think when I got my first singles win was also a really big deal. And I think it was against Zach Thomas. You know, I had been doing, no, you know what? I'll tell you what, we're going to scratch that. That was a great moment. That was a great match. But I think a great moment was like, they didn't do a lot of tag matches despite, you know, Kevin Koo and Dom Guarini being a big part of it. They never really tagged much in the beginning, but I think the first like tag match at the Basement East was, in fact, They Might Be Giants with Marco Stunt and myself versus Dan the Dad as Danny Adams and
KLD.
It was Mike Outlaw.
Oh, okay, Mike Outlaw, the other No New Friend. Yeah,
No New Friends. That was the first tag match, and it's like this crowd's never seen a hot tag before. Holy shit! You know, I just remember, you know, Marco getting beat up, and when he finally made that tag, it's like the roof blew off, and I had everybody on my side for that comeback. It was that was a special moment that I remembered for. That was like the number one moment until the tag match, because that was just insane. It's like the first time a hot tag's ever happened in the history of wrestling, and that happened right then. It was amazing.
Yes, I was in the crowd. It was awesome. I loved those shows. You were also, if I remember correctly, you were part of the Sup. It was like the collective, the one year
it
where it was like
family reunion.
That was awesome. That was awesome.
That was another. That's like a good feather in the cap because since I had gotten back into wrestling, you know, this WrestleMania week didn't exist, you know, in the previous 10 years, and that's what everybody was, you know, fighting and clawing for, and the first collective with the IWTV and the family reunion, with that being the first, I mean, that was like probably the height, like a good height or a good peak at that time for IWTV. And, you know, there was a lot of eyes on that, and it was a big deal and everybody worked hard. And, it was nice to, you know, get that spot with, O'Shea Edwards and Mr. Brickster, who's identifying demons right now.
Dude. Okay.
Oh, no, you're going to get something written about me if I say something.
I know. I was biting my tongue the whole time. So I don't know how deep I want to go on this. I noticed on a tweet, like it had to have been like within the last day or so, I saw you tweet. It might have been underneath a Dylan Hale thing. I can't remember what it was. I saw it looked like the purple demon identified. And I put that together and I was like, if this is what I think it is, that's really, really funny. I don't know if you want, I got it. I don't know if you want to go into this at all. Probably
no,
not.
No, I don't. Not really. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what's happening. I just hope
nobody
he's
does
just having fun, and I hope he's doing okay. That's all.
So do I mean, dude.
You know, if I was topping as much as that, I'd probably be okay too. So I don't have time.
Yeah, no, it's okay. You kind of brought it up, so I just
well, Boston Nuga will be the podcast breaker on that one day. I hope.
Okay, fair enough. Shout out to the homie Ben Boston Nuga,
who is terrible at karaoke, by the way.
Oh, really?
Really?
He sounds like Dan the Rev. I don't know. He was doing great. Really? He sounded like the Rev. It was terrible.
Do you have a karaoke song, Dan?
I have many karaoke songs. But the very first one I ever did, I think, was Cutting Crew, I Just Died in Your Arms Tonight. That was a good one. Amish Paradise was a fun one.
Oh, okay.
I serenaded to Dump Sanders Flirting with Disaster. It's a Molly Hatchet for him. So I mean, you know, I'm Asian. I like karaoke. I dabble.
It's part
of the Filipino culture.
You mentioned, you know, Dump Sanders, your tag team partner, y'all are the champions. He's obviously, you know, one of the main guys, you know, running New South. What are your, I guess, if you can give some more thoughts to the world on Dump Sanders.
Oh, man. It's not cool to put him over, but he does a wonderful job. For some reason, I feel like people give me more credit sometimes than I deserve for like Alabama indie wrestling, but I wouldn't even be back in indie wrestling if it wasn't New South and if it wasn't for Dump Sanders and if it wasn't for Brandon Williams. If you get to know him, he's a really wonderful guy, really caring. It's just, there's just, you know, he's not good at communication. And sometimes that, you know, we're busy, you know, we travel a lot and we got tons of shows all the time. He doesn't get back to everybody. It's just, it's part of wrestling. People that get upset are just, you know, they're joining the, it's cool to dump on people. No pun intended. So, no, he's wonderful. He stepped back from general manager duties 'cause he wants to be a competitor with me. And, you know, I want to spend as much time tagging with my best friend in wrestling. So, you know, we've taken some outside dates coming up from New South. So that's fun 'cause we've never wrestled as a team outside of New South. And we got some action Mike Jackson school shows as a team coming up. So, those will be a lot of fun and not as stressful as having to wrestle at New South and then run a show. So this is gonna be like a vacation night.
Well, speaking of running shows in New South, I don't know if Jeremy was about to ask this. I can wait. You're probably on the same wavelength as me with this next question. Yeah. Okay. So cakewalks, Dan. This has become a thing on our show recently. It has completely unzipped like a piece of my brain that I haven't tapped into for a very long time. As a matter of fact, I went on YouTube the other day and like just watched people do cakewalks, like people would film cakewalks. Yeah, straight up. I don't want to like, you know, I'm not the kind of guy who, you know, like leaks DMs or anything like that, but I mean, Dave was really high on the idea of a cakewalk. It sounds like the wheels may be in motion potentially for a cakewalk situation in New South. I don't know if you can confirm or deny this, but your thoughts on cakewalks in general and if they should be a part of wrestling.
I mean, here's what I thought about cakewalks, and I've actually never participated in cakewalks despite going to a Southern rural school. We did more of the ring toss for the 2 liters. That's more of our jam. Yeah. So, I remember winning a 2 liter of squirt back in elementary school, but my daughter's done cakewalks, so I get it.
Nice.
I would like to do a cakewalk before a show, because during a show, there's just too much going on. I don't want to do it during intermission because we're taking away from wrestlers trying to hawk their merchandise and make Fair. Well-deserved bonus money. But we are talking about doing one for charity before a show. We just got to find a show where we're just not too busy to do one, and then have one of our up-and-coming good guys deal with that, and you know, incorporate that as far as getting their face out to the crowd for a good cause. We would like to raise money for a local food bank or something like that with a cakewalk. I think it'd be fun.
I think it's great.
Whenever this happens, kind of shoot us a message and we'll see how we can help out with this. I don't know if we need to call like a local bakery and be like, hey, what can we supply to the show to get this done? But I feel like we should be involved in some way in this. So I would like to, you know, however we can help, let us know. And we'll,
yeah, no, that'd be awesome. The best thing about wrestling is when it gets community, when you get community base is the best. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was saying if Jensen is close to the show, this would be even more helpful if he could, you know, bring the cake to the show, or if he's there at the show live.
He can cakewalk his ass down. So.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know how close Gadsden, Alabama is. By the way, I wasn't the reason that it said Gadsden, Georgia on the initial report. I'm just going to throw that out there. That wasn't me. But Gadsden, Alabama, I don't know. How close is that to like Chattanooga? Like, how did Dylan get there so quick?
Okay, so Chattanooga to Gadsden's about an hour and 20 minutes, and you cross the time zone back to Central.
Oh, that makes perfect sense. Oh. Okay.
So he was Rick Rude that night.
Yeah. So. Okay. How far is Gadsden from Atlanta?
220.
It's actually not too bad.
No, it's really not.
I mean, I love nothing more than to be involved in some sort of cakewalk, you know, like that we kind of help manifest. But even if I can't be there in person, we would love to help in some way, shape, or form. Get the word out there. Okay. Help with the cake itself. I think it's hilarious.
Gadsden would be a good venue for that too. I think Gadsden would be good, and that'd be the venue I'd like you to see because it's actually a really cool setup. There's another company that owns the building. It's in the mall, and it's called Spartan Wrestling. They have a training school. They're a nonprofit organization. They run a free show once a month. And then we make donations to their nonprofit, and we run our shows there too. So it's a really cool setup in an old movie theater, and they have a training ring in the back. They have a whole upstairs production area. It's a really cool place.
Same place that the show was in over that the Haas was taking place at.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That looks great. It looks like from like the what how it's shown on IWTV. The building looks great. A lot of fans in there. Good sound and everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Awesome. I would love to see if we can get involved in something like this. This would be awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Let us know when this is going to happen and we'll figure something out. We'll get it together.
Yeah. I've got some local bakers here that I definitely know of. So we could do a little something.
Yeah.
Yeah. We were talking about it last week with Big Dave a little bit, like at TWE at the TWE arena, they got banana pudding. So it's like, yeah. I mean, there's absolutely a market for cakes and wrestling. I mean, what would be better than showing up to a local indie wrestling show and you're hanging out before the show and you're like, wait a second, there's a cakewalk going on. Like you put an entire cake in your car before the show starts. Are you from Gadsden? Were you
originally I'm from the Philippines, you see, and then when I immigrated to this country at a very young age, but this is my continental hometown.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm actually sitting in the driveway of my childhood home in the town over. So
what can you tell people about Gadsden that don't know about Gadsden?
It's the City of Champions. That's the actual title of the city. It's right on the Coosa River. It's got a really cool downtown area. The venue in Gadsden is awesome. It's right by a really nice hotel that sponsors some rooms, Gadsden and Suites. There's a lot of golf courses. It's primarily been a retirement community ever since the steel plant closed down in the early 90s, and then the Goodyear plant shut down a few years ago. So we're trying to rebound the city. And we have a new mayor. I'm way too involved with local politics, but we've got a new mayor and we're really trying to bounce back, and we're trying to, we're, there's some stuff on the table for the city to help help New South run something bigger than we're doing at Spartan Arena. So there's bigger venues in town, and we want to do something bigger with them. So I love Gadsden a lot. So it's where I've lived my whole life. I just spot 1 year in Birmingham, and that was the shits. So yeah.
Anything else, Jensen?
Sorry. Go ahead, Dan.
I'm a big Gadsden mark. Who wouldn't want to wrestle 10 minutes from home in front of a packed crowd on a good show? So,
hell yeah, the people love you. I love watching it. I've been a fan for, I can't believe how long ago. I mean, I know you've been around for a long time, but I consider myself like a real Cabana Man Dan fan ever since like the Sup Grabs days when I really started, because obviously like IWTV and the accessibility and being able to follow along so much easier in recent years has been so great as a fan of indie wrestling. And it's been great seeing you evolve. Like, I remember you coming out with the coconut and like the shades and, you know, the different gear and we talked about the, you know, we might be giant or they might be giants. We might be giants. They might be giants.
They
might be giants. To see what you keep doing and the people you're influencing and this new generation that's come along and everyone has such good things to say about you. It's been really, really cool to see, man. So, I'm glad to hear that this wasn't like a retirement thing, like you not doing Haas anymore. I was a little confused about that. So I'm glad to know that, you know, you're still.
No. Yeah, no, it's not the end of the line yet. I don't know. I don't see it going too many years longer or even, you know, another year. It just depends how I wake up, and, you know, I'll keep working hard if my body lets me. I know my life is different now than it was when I was wrestling all over the indies and having a really good time. I'm part of leadership and ownership of New South as well. Now we've really boosted up some of our backstage stuff within the last year. And you can tell a huge difference in the product that we're putting out right now. We got sponsors involved. We got bigger crowds. We got production stepping up. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, it's like, why do I want to be gone all the time if I can just make something fantastic with my best friends here and make it a destination for other people to want to come to? Because, you know, I think my window on, I don't want to get signed. I've got a job with the government. You know, I don't want to give that up. You know, I've got a pension waiting for me. I've just got to do my time. I'm back in college. I just want to, you know, and my daughter's, she's 13 now. So that's definitely a bigger priority than wrestling. And, you know, just trying to balance it all. I can't do that if I'm like sleeping on the floor of somebody's house in the Midwest and just living in cars and stuff. It's just, I did my time on that. That's good. I mean, I would do it again if it was for the right reasons, if it was for the right match or the right opportunity. Sure. You know, I try to go to AEW anytime that they're close by to where I can potentially be backstage. And if they have something open, you know, step in that spot, that'd be great. WWE is not really on the table as far as that goes, because, you know, I don't really have the best body anymore, as far as like the bones and ligaments and stuff, but they're really cool about reaching out to me too. So it's nice to be, to still be in that atmosphere. But I really get more out of producing a really good show, watching my friends do well, and helping guys like Big Dave, Tyler Franks, Hunter Drake, and then the next batch of people like your Marcus Dillon, Bubba Baz, Jake Franklin, you know, just all these young guys. I want to give them what I didn't have. You know, I did my training in the back of an antique store for $20 a week until the Outlaw show shut down. You know, I didn't have a mentor. We didn't have somebody you could just text and call, or how to get in a car load, or how to do anything. So I just want to do the opposite of my upbringing for the people that actually want to do this. Because Alabama's hard. It's a hard state to break out of.
Well, I think what you're doing is awesome, man. I'm a fan. I'll always be a fan. So I appreciate you coming on the show, man. We really do. It's great catching up.
Yeah, absolutely. And when we get some details about the cakewalk, you know, if we get a good local charity, We find some local bakeries that'll help us out. It doesn't have to be huge because, I mean, it's like the Spartan Arena only seats like 250. So it's not like our bigger venues like in Priceville where you can fit 1,000 people in there. So that's just a really cool thing, is being part of a show that feels like a territory is really cool.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing the territory crossovers, like I said earlier, with like these different company. I think there's a lot that we didn't get because of the pandemic, like that we missed out on, that I think was going to happen. They were setting a lot of stuff up then, I think. And I think there's an opportunity now to really do something special for the fans. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, the possibilities coming up is, they're insane. Like, I don't even know where it can go. It can go 1,000 different ways, but the fact that it's going somewhere means that, I mean, the ones that win are the wrestling fans.
Yes.
So this is something that people have been asking, when's it going to happen, for years. And now that someone shot a shot, you know, that's all it took.
Awesome. What, where can people find you also? I want to make sure you plug everything. We'll, you know, try to get the plugs out there.
Well, I'm not a hard Dan to find, Steven. You can find me on X, formerly known as Twitter, at CabanaManDan. You can find me on Instagram at Cabana.Man.Dan. You can find me on Facebook, CabanaManDan. I mean, you know, I'm a one of one until Rolando Perez tried to steal my gimmick back in the infancy of like New South. Like, we weren't even on the internet or anything really yet. But that's like the greatest story that's never been seen, because it was before IWTV.
Gotcha. Rolando Freeman, for those of you who may not know as well.
Oh yeah, Rolando Freeman. the big brother to Rush Freeman.
Yeah. It's wild. It's wild.
So if you know Rolando, he's a really good kid. He's another one of my children in wrestling. He's like he's my first wrestling son, despite him trying to be a dick and steal my identity. Because identity thief is no joke, Jim. And but, you know, he's recently had to have shoulder surgery, and it was worse than they expected. So check it out. If you know Rolando, buy a shirt from him, donate to his GoFundMe. You know, any bit helps. He does have marketplace insurance, but it doesn't cover a whole lot. So, he still owes several thousand dollars out of pocket for that. So any bit helps my good wrestling son, Rolando.
Awesome.
Dan, we appreciate you joining us. Good luck with everything. And yeah, let us know about the cakewalk, and we'll be in touch with that and to help out however we can.
Yeah. And I have one more bit of advice. I know a lot of people ask me about advice in wrestling. It's like, always have wrestling's great. It is a finite career. Have something to fall back on. When I was in high school, that was the thing that my parents told me a lot. So I went to the community college and I got a 2-year degree in civil engineering, and I never knew that I'd ever use it. And then now I've got an engineering job with the opportunity to go back to college to get a bachelor's degree in civil engineering. And I think that message resonates with a lot of people, that even at 40 with a 20-year wrestling career and all the concussions and the bell shots, I could still go back to school and hopefully continue my career outside of wrestling while still involved in wrestling. So, you know, go do the drives, hop in the cars, but, you know, have something to fall back on. A trade. Trades are very important. I know I'm sounding like Cabana Man Dad now, so I'm so sorry.
No, these are good messages. I'm glad that you were able to get that out there.
And if you're a young wrestler, especially in the Southeast, it doesn't have to be the Southeast. If you just have just a question, if you want any advice, you know, my DMs are open. You know, I get all sorts of people asking me silly things or really important stuff. So, you know, I've made a good career as far as like traveling on the thrift. You know, I'm like a very really big Bob Evans guy. So he helped me a lot too, getting back into wrestling. So there's a lot of things I can, you know, I'd love to help people.
Awesome. Well, thanks again, Appreciate Dan. Best of luck going forward. We'll be in touch.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you, guys. See ya.
Thanks, man.
Bye.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Indianapolis Verizon store today. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.